This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Ashley Thornburg, and joining us from our Bismarck studio is Sue Belcom. It's time for another episode of Main Street Eats, and Sue joins us once a week from the Root Cellars Farm outside of Mandan. Sue, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And we're calling the segment Main Street Eats, but today you're talking about soap. And unless you've been doing an awful lot of swearing, there's no reason for soap in the mouth.
Doggone, you stole that one. I'm like, oh, good. We don't eat soap. We make soap and we use soap. But yeah, definitely. And I don't know, do parents still do that anymore? They probably learned about how bad that's got to be for your mouth to have that soap in there. But I'm reminded of the Christmas story. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that scene in the Christmas story? I have been making soap for a long, 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 long time. And why would somebody do that, you ask, when you can go to the grocery store or the health food store and buy your own bars of soap? Well, one of the things that I've just recently discovered is that if you look at the labels, they can't really call it soap. It's more like a beauty bar or things like that, because in order for the FDA to allow you to call it soap, it has to be made with lye and fats, and it has to go through this sapification process. And the difference between real soap and the stuff in the store is that the glycerin that is formed from the process, the chemical process that happens when you make soap, is actually left in bars of homemade soap, whereas it's taken out and sold as a separate product in most commercial factories.
And what is it that the glycerin is doing?
Well, the glycerin is so good for keeping your skin soft in the wintertime. I love homemade soap. I have been using homemade soap for years and years and years because I'm very sensitive to scents and things like that.
Okay.
And so the soap I make is simply soap. It usually doesn't have any scent or coloring in it whatsoever. But there's vitamins in homemade soap, and there's the glycerin in homemade soap. It also leaves less soap scum in your bathtub or shower stall than the commercial stuff does. And it is easily customizable to something that you would like to use on your skin. Organic ingredients or add-ins that you prefer.
Or scent combinations.
Yes.
I'm a sucker for cherry almond. I just love that combination.
Oh, you know what? I was thinking about making some cherry almond jam here because I happen to have some cherries in my larder. I'll see where I get with that this week. Anyway, or next week or the week after, you know. I have all these plans stacked up in my head.
That is a thing, yeah.
But I was running out of soap, and my husband doesn't use the homemade stuff. I do for myself, but I don't use it for the laundry like my grandparents did. And maybe anybody who's my age or older, or maybe a couple years younger, can remember sticking their hand in their pockets and finding that last sliver of homemade soap that was in the wash water. And I love the way it smells. My granddaughters love the way it smells. I'm just not sure what that smell is exactly, because the ingredients to making soap scare a lot of people.
Yeah, there's lye in there,
very
right?
Very scary, yes.
Okay.
And lye, of course, is a dangerous chemical when it's used improperly. And there for a while, it was actually difficult to find. Soap makers had to order in large lots of lye because it wasn't available on the stores. It's actually a drain cleaner. And I know as a child, when they do those poison control things when your kids are in school and you get the Mr. Yuck stickers, that they always talk about the dangers of lye and kids drinking that and having it, it eats things. Like I've stuck a pencil. I've stirred my lye with a pencil and I noticed that the metal that was holding the eraser on was foaming.
No
and I'm like,
way.
Geez Louise, I better be a little careful. So if you like chemistry and you are careful, it's okay to make lye. You can purchase it locally, but you have to read the label to make sure that it's pure, and do not fear the lye. Wear rubber gloves and use only equipment for soap making that you would not use for cooking. You must keep separate pans, separate stir sticks, separate measuring cups, separate scales would be a good idea too, because you
scales,
you have to measure your ingredients. And you're thinking to yourself, okay, where can I find a good recipe for soap? There is something called the soapcalculator.com where you can actually go in and say, I have 16 ounces of coconut oil, 4 ounces of almond oil. I'm going to add in some oatmeal. I'm going to put in an essential oil to make it scented, and it will calculate the exact proportion of water and lye that you need to make your fats sapify, saponification,
and
whatever
what is
that word
that?
Is.
Is that just the actual process of soap making?
Yes. Okay. So it is kind of like you make your lye, and lye will heat up. Okay, and if you all remember chemistry class, you always pour your lye into your water, not the other way around. And so you mix that up, and then you have to let that cool. It heats up to sometimes 180 degrees, just pouring the lye into the water. And I've used rhubarb juice, and I've used some other things, but lye will change the color of anything that it touches for some reason. So it does take a little experimentation if you're going to try other things in place of plain old water, which you can use distilled water. Or I found out recently I can also use parts of my aloe vera plant as a substitute for water. So that's going to be my next batch.
Well, let's talk about coconut oil, because I have not made my own soap, but I've made my own like body scrubs. And two things I've noticed about the coconut oil that kind of make me wonder if I should keep using it, because right away my skin feels amazing. It's so, so soft. But then my bathtub is insanely slippery, like dangerously slippery.
Totally dangerous.
And then also, like, coconut oil at room temperature might be liquid, but if it's a colder area, it can get solid. And then I wonder about putting that down your pipes.
Oh, yeah, but as a soap, it's like, it doesn't, well, unless
that's
you let the slivers go down there. But, you know,
okay.
I save all my slivers, put them in a little bag that I crocheted that I hang in my shower so I don't lose any of that precious soap. But, yeah, that I've never had a problem with that. The coconut oil in the soap is actually there for the lathering effect. The more coconut oil, the better you lather. But you have to have a proper amount of solid fat and things in there so that your bars are solid soap. And I've never not had my soap set up to become solid bars. The reason I made my soap now is because I realized I was running out, and you do have to let it cure. So if you make your soap, cut it into bars, and then let it set for a month or two before you actually use it, that all the moisture is gone. The lye is completely gone after the chemical process happens. So just to run through the recipe, you know, you create a lye and water thing, and then you take your fats and you melt them down and warm them up so that both the lye and the shortening, lard, coconut butter, coconut oil, shea butter, canola oil, sunseed, almond oil, whatever you're using, they have to be very close in temperature. And then you get yourself, if you like to stir things, you can do this by hand, but I would totally recommend getting a stick blender that you use exclusively for soap, and they're very inexpensive. Then you carefully pour your lye into your fats, and that's when the chemical process begins to happen, and you keep stirring and stirring and stirring until you can run that stick blender across the surface of the soap, and it leaves a trace. It leaves a trail behind. Then you can add your oils that you're using to scent. You can add things like oatmeal if you want an oatmeal scrub. You can add spices. I've seen pepper soaps that are good for gardeners because they are rough and they get the dirt under your fingernails. You can put coffee in there. I don't like to buy anything commercial for in my soap, so I'm experimenting a lot with honey, dandelion, elixirs. I also use turmeric to color my soap, and it starts out being one cool color, and then it fades a little bit. But you know what? It's soap, for crying out loud. It doesn't have to be designer colors. And if you use things that aren't like food grade, then you stand the chance of dyeing your bathtub or dyeing your shower or dyeing your skin with something that you don't really want in there. So
that would be fun. And that website you mentioned was thesoapcalculator.com. Sue, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It was my pleasure.